Things Detroit Pistons basketball. We are a member of the Almighty Baller Podcast Network. This is David Fernandez here. I am back from my trip from the beautiful French West Indies, and I am joined here by my co-host Joey Mack.
Hey guys, yeah, Joey Mack here. We're both stateside this episode. In fact, I think it's snowing in both of our cities. Didn't you just have a snow day a couple days ago, David?
I had a nice, you know, nice tasty snow day after being in 85 degree weather for a whole week. So came back. I guess it wasn't too bad because, you know, it's a day off. It's an extra day off. But it's still kind of depressing to not only see walls of snow everywhere I walk around in Boston, but also really kind of worried about the right knee with this ice. You know, I don't really want to tear an ACL real quick and kind of, you know, end the hoop dreams early, especially if the Grand Rapids Drive are going to be having
that's true.
tryouts.
That's true. Yeah, you share those knee concerns with Reggie Jackson. So hopefully
we text each other back and forth about that.
Yeah, yeah, that's good. As always, you can find us on iTunes, Stitcher, Podcast Addict, wherever it is that you listen to podcasts, we'll be there. And most importantly, you can find us on almightyballer.com.
And yeah, you know, check us out on Twitter too. Inside the Cylinder. I'm not going to spell at you. I'm just not going to do it.
Not this episode.
Just get your search on and you'll see us there. But before we hop into the show, I have a pretty big announcement that we're pretty excited to tell you guys. Over the past week or so, it has been finalized that the Almighty Baller Podcast Network will be joining Dash Radio. So if you don't know what Dash Radio is, just sit tight. I got you covered. Dash Radio, it was launched by DJ Ski. It's a digital radio broadcasting platform. Right now it has about more than 60 original stations, some musicians and non-musicians, with original curated stations include Odd Future, Snoop Dogg, Mac Miller, and one of the Jenner family, Kylie Jenner to be specific. So if you like hip-hop and hoops, this is the perfect network for you. And Inside the Cylinder will be joining some of the other Almighty Baller Network shows in joining the Dash platform. We believe we'll be having a weekly show on Thursdays for your evening commute home around the 5:30, 6:30 p.m. slot-ish. So stay tuned for more information on that. But yeah, 100% excited to, you know, announce that and to be a part of Dash Radio. It's a great platform for listening to free music. And Almighty Baller Network will be the first sports network on there. So a bunch of the NBA shows that you've come to know and love, including Inside the Cylinder, is going to be on there. So super excited about it.
Yeah, very exciting stuff. We're definitely looking forward to it. And shout out to Chris for solidifying that. So we're going to bring our hot takes across the board. Before we get into...
Across the dashboard, if you will.
Yes, yes. Across the dashboard, for sure.
But yeah, before we do hop into today's show, just a quick word from our sponsor. Now, before we hop into today's episode, I want to introduce you to the Almighty Baller Podcast Network's newest sponsor, Draft, the daily fantasy sports app. Do you play daily fantasy? If so, you should be playing on Draft. Get this, your chances of winning on Draft are almost three times better than on FanDuel or DraftKings. The data shows almost 90% of players lose on DraftKings. On FanDuel, over 40% of the money goes to just 1% of the players. That is weak. If you're not a pro and not spending hours a day on fantasy, you should be playing on Draft. You'll win more often. It's statistically proven. On Draft, you do a simple snake draft, just like at the beginning of your season-long league. You can do drafts whenever you want. They last for just one day, and they only take minutes to complete. So just search Draft in the App Store, and it will be the first thing to come up. Be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100 when you download, and you will get a 100% bonus when you deposit up to $600. Again, search Draft in the App Store, and be sure to enter the promo code ALMIGHTY100. That is a possible $600 that they'll match for you. So, thank you to Draft, and thank you for supporting the Almighty Baller Podcast Network and Inside the Cylinder. Now, back to today's show. All right, back at it.
Cool.
What are we getting into, Joe? What's on the slate today?
So on this week's episode, we got a couple things to get into, ranging from our starting lineup decisions to, you know, the playoff race to the teams chasing us in the playoff race. But most importantly, we have to talk about we're going to go back down the Darko Milicic wormhole. We're going to take you there mentally. I apologize, but it's pretty entertaining stuff, honestly.
Before you get into it, now there was, remember when we were talking last week and I was in the, on the, where we were talking about my beach life and Island, Maine?
Yeah. Did you bleach your hair like Darko did? I hope not.
I did not bleach my hair on the beach.
Good.
But I was thinking about getting like the Caribbean braids and just kind of rocking that back. No, I'm just joking. But
that would be a strong move. I don't know how they would take that in the office.
Oh, it'd be offensive. It'd be offensive on so many different levels that
I would be offended.
I am offended right now just talking about this.
I'm visualizing it, and I'm not in a happy place. But
but no, one thing I wanted to bring up was we were talking about my like philosophical thoughts, my beach island thoughts. Is there some sort of weird like wormhole or some sort of like, is this a basketball god's kind of, I don't know, blessing inside the cylinder in a certain sense? We were talking about Darko unprovoked last week, and lo and behold, a bombshell drops, Joe, and you can hit them with that bomb real quick.
Yeah, there was a Darko interview, I believe within, it was February 27th. It was in Serbian, but it was translated, and I recently stumbled upon it, kind of talking about his Pistons days and his NBA career and where he's at currently. We're going to talk about his Pistons days. Obviously, he was the number two overall pick in 2003. We talked about this last episode.
Number two overall pick, number three center off the bench.
Yes. You know, after LeBron James, before Carmelo and Dwayne Wade and Chris Bosh, et cetera, and TJ Ford.
I was also eligible for that draft, but
you were not, because I think you were a freshman in high school, weren't you?
True. You're right.
So this, it was a pretty revealing interview discussing his time in Detroit. There was a certain quote that was interesting. And I quote, his statement was, "My approach was completely different. As a number two overall pick coming from Europe, I thought I was sent by God. So I got into fights, got drunk before practices, spiting everyone, while in the end, I was spiting myself." My man, Darko Milicic,
heavy.
He was getting drunk before practices and thought he was sent by God. So I don't know if that has more to say about his state of mind now or his state of mind back in 2003, 2004. But, you know, I think it's fair to say his head wasn't in it.
No. And, I mean, you got to think, put yourself in his massive shoes just for 2 seconds. He's living in, you know, he's from Serbia. It's a very small country. It's, you know, kind of been a place of conflict over the past 30 years or so. I mean, it's not so much anymore, but especially when Darko was growing up in the early 90s, there was a lot of conflict there, you know, bombs being dropped and stuff. But, and then to be growing up in that and then to kind of manifest into this sort of godsend, essentially, where he was probably being worshipped in his home soil, and then right away to this clamoring about him on stateside, about his upside, about his potential, about, you know, this was during an era of, you know, next big center. That's what you do. You build your team off of the center. And that was Darko. And it kind of makes sense how the ego could be inflated so heavily to the point where you might even actually think that you were sent by God and that you were some second coming of basketball greatness, of greatness in general. So, you know, I mean, being that young and having that type of burden on your shoulders, carrying a country and then also kind of stroking your own ego at the same time, had to be quite a bit, especially on a team that was already developed like the Pistons at that time.
Yeah, and he mentions that later on in the interview, talking about, you know, I just didn't get a chance to play my first year. You know, it'd be one thing if I was out there playing all the time, but I was put in this new culture and I was getting garbage minutes every couple of nights, not even every night. And that was frustrating for him. He was young. He was 18. So he was too young. I mean, he admitted sort of his faults and where he was at mentally and how that affected sort of the rest of his career from there on out. You know, it's kind of like that Yao Ming thing where Yao Ming had a similar a situation where he had a country on his shoulders. Obviously, China has a different culture than Serbia, but you know, he took more of a modest approach and sort of removed his ego. Actually, Darko talks about his ego in this interview as well, and how big it was. And you know, Yao sort of put the country in front of him, and you know, Darko got really egotistic and tried to do it all himself. He does. We're not going to, you know, go too deep into Darko, but later on he does talk about what he's currently doing. Just to give an update in case you haven't seen the YouTube videos of him drinking beer with his shirt off.
Joe, were you there at that? Were you at that, like, fight thing or that, no. That beer hall?
No, I would have. I would love that, though. That would be a story. That would be my favorite story to tell.
You would have been terrified in that situation.
I
would have been so scared.
In the moment, I would have been, but if I made it out of there alive without, like, any bruises or anything, that's a story I'd tell for the rest of my life.
For sure.
But
even if you did have bruises, you'd definitely be telling
story. Yeah, for sure. Then I'd sound like a hard ass. But so his last his kind of update on his life is he's gained 90 pounds. He's up to 350 pounds right now. He's working on a farm, and you know, he's living his life. I've created my own peace of mind, and I'm enjoying it. So I'm happy for the guy. But I just wanted to bring things full circle for you guys and give you an update on Darko Milicic.
Yeah, and one thing that kind of stood out to me in this in the article, he says something along the lines, well, I'll just give you the quote, and I disagree in a very serious manner. There were some situations where, this is Darko now, so yeah. I was the problem. The initial dissatisfaction probably led to me starting to hate and not enjoy playing. There were some situations where I've already scored 20 points, but in my head I'm thinking, when will this game finally end? Come on, let's pack it up and go home. I just had to feed my ego. I couldn't care less what's going to happen the following week. I'm just going to stop it right there. I don't remember too many 20-point nights coming out of Darko Milicic.
Not for the Pistons.
For the Pistons, no.
No.
I don't remember. He played for the Timberwolves, too, I believe.
He played for the Magic. He played for the he went to Memphis, and he played for the Timberwolves, and he played one game for Boston. And then, keep in mind, he's only 31 years old.
That's crazy.
That's insane. But yeah, so that's Darko. Not to sort of segue here in a cheesy manner, but we do want to talk about the starting lineup changes for the Pistons, and one guy for them that hasn't had a huge ego and has kind of accepted his role is Tobias Harris, kind of going back and forth. Dave, what are your sort of your thoughts on what's taking place with our starting lineup and Tobias Harris's role?
So we had, you know, I kind of started drafting some notes for this show a couple of days ago, which was probably pretty silly just because the Pistons had two games this week, including a game against the Cavs, a game against Utah, following it up with a game on Friday against the Raptors. But in it, I had wrote, this is the team. So in reference to Tobias Harris being back in the starting lineup, which he has been over the past few games, that this is the team we've been calling for, both you and I, Joe, on the show plenty of times. We've said it time and time again that we want Tobias Harris back in the starting lineup. Thank you for listening, Stan Van Gundy. That's what I wrote in our notes. Because we know that he listens in and takes seriously what it is that we're saying and prescribing to him. But, you know, I was excited about it. You know, he, in the three or four games that he had starting, he was putting up 20 points per game. He was absolutely on fire against the Knicks. Now it's a depleted Knicks team, but, you know, he still had some guys guarding him that could actually stop him. I think he went for like 25 points or he went for like 24 points in the first half. He was legitimately just on fire. A lot of positive things that we could see out of this. Reggie was still putting up good numbers in those stretches. It was just kind of everything that we've wanted to see so far and kind of the product on the floor that we've been calling for and that we remember taking us into the playoffs last year. Now, Joe, did you have any takeaways about Tobias being in the starting lineup or anything of that nature?
Big time. I mean, I mentioned on last week's episode that we've had a lot of really slow starts and that I think that we need Tobias Harris's offense out of the gate in order to prevent a big lead by the other team. And we started him a couple games in a row and we came out of the gate quickly, and specifically Tobias Harris against the New York Knicks was dropping buckets. So I think that's been huge for our offense. He led us in points against the Knicks and against the Cavaliers. And just tonight against the Utah Jazz, because we didn't start him. We started John Luer, and we were down like 14-4 at one point, and it just kind of got out of hand, and we couldn't recover. So I think there was sort of a mix-up, and we talked about this, David, with that starting lineup. Sam Van Gundy expected Boris Diaw to start, and so he wanted the bigger John Luer to guard Boris Diaw, who has gotten – he was pretty big himself. But Quinn Snyder pulled a last-minute audible and started – Joe Johnson instead, and so John Luer was matched up against Joe Johnson, which is insane.
Anytime you see John Luer with his arms spread as wide as possible and his knees about as low as they can possibly go, and he's like got LeBron James or, you know, even a Joe Johnson or a Paul George, he just looks like he's on an island out there and he just wants some help. You know it's going to be one, two steps, the guys by him, and, you know, John's getting his arms in there, getting a foul called on him. It's really not a good matchup. He really does prefer to play against true traditional fours, not a three that's slotted at the four, or even a lot of fives he struggles against. So,
yeah, you know, anybody that can take it off the dribble. Like, if it's Kevin Love, for example, which is a big reason why we got him, so we could have a big stretch four defend him in the playoffs. Yeah, he can do that because Kevin Love is not going to cross him up. That's not going to happen. But when you, like you said, when you get those smaller guys who can go off the dribble at the perimeter, he just doesn't have a prayer against that. And we saw that against Joe Johnson. And once that happens, once he gets by John Luer, then our defense is out of position. They can swing the ball. And
they did.
They definitely did. And they made a lot of threes.
Yeah, they made a lot of threes. So just to recap on the last couple games, Cavs, if you didn't see it coming, then I don't know. You should have seen it coming. The Pistons went to the queue, and the Cavs had lost, I believe, 4 of 5. And LeBron James-led team do not lose 5 of 6. They rarely lose back-to-back. And it wasn't going to happen against the Pistons, especially since the Pistons had just beaten them at the Palace a few nights before. So the Cavs, once again on national television, absolutely embarrassed the Pistons. Beat them by 36. I had a tweet that went out saying, please don't lose by 40. Please don't lose by 40. Please don't lose by 40. Just because you don't want to lose by 40. Like, keep it respectful. Keep it to 36. And then tonight, the Jazz dismantled the Pistons kind of methodically. They, like you said, Joe, they got that early lead and they kind of just kept with it, and they beat the Pistons by 14 points on the second night of a back-to-back.
Yeah, I mean, the Jazz are a very impressive team. They're fun to watch. They can shoot really well across the board with George Hill, Joe Inglis.
Gordon Hayward.
Who comes off the bench. Gordon Hayward.
Wait, you say Joe Ingles? Yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Man, said he was torching us.
He's up there, like, top five in the NBA in three-point shooting, as is George
I believe
Hill.
He's one.
I believe he's one. Yeah, I think you're right. And then they also have Boris Diaw, who can shoot. Who am I forgetting?
Joe Johnson.
Joe Johnson, there you go.
Also, Rodney Hood.
Rodney Hood, who torched us earlier on this year and has a couple times the past year, couple years. So yeah,
let me say something about the Jazz real quick. Not that this is, you know, I don't want to be too much of too jazzy. I don't want to get it too jazzy. I don't want to get it Miles Davis up in here, but
no.
I will.
If you have to.
I will. No, I won't. But one thing I do want to say, when I watch them play, it's kind of like the team that I really want the Pistons to be.
Yeah.
It's like there's a lot of really good players on their team, and they're playing at a high level. They're moving the ball really well. They got stingy defense. They had a great center. I'm not saying that Andre's not a great center, but
They have a defensive anchor with Gobert.
I know, but it's not that the Pistons they don't have these pieces, because they do. It's just that the way that they kind of bring that intensity every single night, it's just something that you kind of have to applaud, and you got to give Quinn Snyder his props. He's done a hell of a job with that squad. He's going to have them, you know, possibly with a home court advantage in the daunting Western Conference. So I just think that's I don't know. I just have a lot of admiration for that team, and it's just a team that I really kind of would embody the Pistons kind of mirroring themselves off of. Not that they're as heavy with the pick and roll, and you know they don't necessarily run as much of like that motion offense that SVG runs, but they just play really well and they play into their roles.
Yeah, definitely, and they're fun to watch. And I think you see with them, especially tonight, they're the type of team that'll get that third, fourth, and fifth pass that'll get them the easy shots. With the Pistons, we can get one or two good passes and find a guy, but we can't swing the ball to get the defense completely out of position in order to get a really good look, an open three-pointer, or an easy bucket underneath. And I think they do a really good job of that. And that might just be time. I'm not sure. But they're just they're a really disciplined squad, and they're really fun to watch. So I agree with you. I think they're going to be a force to be reckoned with in the West. We can even talk about Dante Exum, their backup point guard, who is
nasty.
Looked really good. So good things happening out there.
Now, real quick, but before we get into that, I just want to kind of talk just a little bit about, and I don't want to make this a doom and gloom podcast just because, you know, they've lost a couple straight. If you were looking at the schedule, it wouldn't have been, I mentally kind of checked those off as two losses. I thought there was a chance tonight. I thought there was no way in Hades that they were going to get the job done at Cleveland. But prior to that, just want to read off just some stats real quick about how the Pistons had been playing prior to these past two games in their past 15. So 15 games prior to the last two. So prior to the Cavs games, the Pistons were 10-5 in their last 15 games. They were tied for third. They had the number 5 best defensive rating. They had a top 10 offensive rating. They were number 1 defensive rebounding team, which I believe they've been all year. Number 1 in turnovers, as in least turnovers. Number 1 in assist to turnover ratio. Their pace was up to 17th in the league, which they've usually been a bottom 5 team since the beginning of the season. They boasted a 3.7 plus minus, which is good for 7th in the NBA. And in their last 10 games prior to the Cavs game, they were top 10 in points per game, number 9 in defensive rating, and number 8 in net rating. So we have seen a lot of good stuff out of the Pistons recently. We have seen a little bit more of that ball movement. We have seen great stuff out of Tobias Harris in the starting lineup. I assume that Stan Van Gundy is going to be going back to that. But just wanted to kind of just put that out there, because I'm not necessarily worried. But it's crunch time. It's 100% crunch time. We are getting right towards the playoff push. So just something I wanted to note.
Yeah. I mean, since we did our last podcast, they beat the Cavs and lost to the Cavs. So, I mean, it's not like, again, like I said last episode, they're not in necessarily panic mode. Part of the characteristic of a good team is you kind of keep things steady and balanced. You don't have too many ups and too many downs. And Stan Van Gundy mentions that all the time when he gets interviewed after games. Like, what are, you know, how does this affect your team moving forward? You know, it doesn't. Like, you got to wake up the next day and you got to go back to work and you got to have to be prepared and play your opponent on any given night. So part of that is sort of being mature and having a short-term memory. And, yeah, so we lost to the Jazz tonight. We could come out and beat the Toronto Raptors on Friday. But the, and that
winnable game.
Was that? Very winnable, winnable game. Yeah, that's at home. Although, when we play at home against the Raptors, I don't even know if we... That is technically a home game because there are a lot of Raptors fans that show up.
Oh, for that. Man, you're right. I forgot about that. It offends me, man. It really does.
I think when we're in downtown Detroit, that won't be the case, but it is ridiculous.
It's probably their vengeance for, and if there's, you know, Detroit fans listening that are actually from like the Detroit area, you know, as a youngster that when you're 18 years old, what you do is you drive yourself to Detroit. And you cross the Ambassador Bridge, and you go to Windsor, Ontario, which is right across the river of Detroit. You're in Canada at that point. And you go to bars, and you get drunk, and you are just pretty much an ass. Do you think it's like some karma, like some basketball god karma, or just some karma in the world where they're like, all right, you're going to do that. We're going to flood the palace with Raptors fans, we the North.
It's a similar rite of passage, but instead of invading their city and getting drunk, well, they probably do get drunk. Auburn Hills is not Detroit, but they get rowdy at our Pistons games instead of at our bars and clubs. Maybe they do that later. I don't know, but it is a rite of passage thing. Probably
that will have to be fact checked. We're gonna have to get the truthers on that one.
On which one exactly?
On whether or not they go from the palace to like downtown and like kind of keep it going, you know, in droves.
That's true.
The Raptors fans. Joe, so I have a question.
Yeah.
Actually, this is more word association. I say Pistons in a back to back. You say what?
Unwatchable.
Oh, that's great. So,
I would like to include that on national TV as well. They're just
I don't want to talk about national TV games. That's legitimately a trigger for me. Yeah. So you know, we want to keep it sane around here, around these parts, as much as we possibly can. But all right, so unwatchable, fair. So I have a little tidbit and something I looked up after tonight's game, which was a back-to-back. Pistons lost by 14 after getting their butts whipped by the Cavs. Just looking at the Pistons' schedule. So the Pistons have roughly, I don't know, 14, 15 more games or so. And of those games, they have four more back-to-backs. And these back-to-backs, before the end of the season, the opponents include... So they're going to be at Chicago on the second night of a back-to-back. They're going to have Miami at home on the second night of a back-to-back. They're going to play at Milwaukee on the second night of a back-to-back. And they're going to have the Wizards, who are Wizards, literally, at home on the second night of a back-to-back. So those are three teams right now. Well, one of them is a playoff team, and three of those teams are right there with us in this playoff race for the 6th, 7th, 8th seed. That is kind of concerning. I wasn't super comfortable when I was looking at that stat. Or not stat, but when I was looking up that schedule. So, yeah. I don't know. What are your thoughts about that? I did you notice?
I didn't.
I don't know if you...
I didn't see that. That's a great point. That is extremely concerning. I think that Stan Van Gundy is going to really have to take a look in the mirror and reanalyze how he's going to play players in these back-to-backs and lineups and what have you. Just so, you know, like, for example, he can't play KCP 40 minutes the night before, or maybe he can, but then he's going to have to play, you know, Reggie Bullock probably more the next night. So clearly I think he's going to have to make some coaching adjustments, but like you said, those are huge games. Like, we're battling with the Bulls, the Bucks, and what was the other team? Yeah, well, yeah, the Heat. Yeah. For the playoffs,
and the Wizards just have our number too. So
yeah, so
hopefully,
you know,
they're resting at that point because it's one of the last games of the season, and hopefully they just have their solidified you know, where they're at. Yeah. But usually teams that are kind of new and kind of finding themselves, like the Wizards still are, they usually don't rest their players going into the final games of the season, no matter what, just because they want to bring in that, like, ferocity into the playoffs. So I don't know, it scares me a bit.
Yeah, I mean, that's one of those things sometimes where, like, you just want your players to stay in a groove and keep playing ball and every other or every couple nights, as opposed to giving them more days off and maybe sort of losing that groove. It's like a baseball player or a pitcher, you know.
I mean, usually lots of times your last game is going to be on a Tuesday or something like that, and playoffs start on Saturday. So that's like 5 days off. You usually do want your players to play. So, yeah, I mean, at this point, we should not be hoping that the Wizards bench their players in our third to final game in order for us to make the playoffs. But, you know, I'm psychotic, so I think that way. I look that far into the schedule. I've been looking at the 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 seeds for the last, like, 4 months when it was clear that we weren't going to be a top four team.
Yeah, I mean, and you have to, like, those are that can swing both ways. Like, if you lose a game one night in the Heat and the Wizards and the Bulls somehow all happen to lose on the same night as well, you at least don't lose a full game. You just lose, or you don't lose anything. But if you lose to one of those teams, then you lose a full game, and that can determine sometimes whether or not you make the playoffs. So I think that is...
It will, too. It's going to be tight coming into this final stretch.
Yeah, definitely. So I think we're going to have to make some adjustments and step up to the plate and win some of those back-to-backs.
Anything that you've seen, Joe? I know this isn't necessarily on, you know, the dock or anything, but is there anything that you've seen on the court so far this, you know, in these past, I don't know, five, seven games... that either you're super high on or super low on or, you know, concerned about or happy about? Is there anything that's kind of struck your, you know, your attention?
I'm excited about Baines. I think he's been playing a lot better off the bench. I mean, he's hitting that little elbow jump shot. He's playing sound defense. He's been really engaged with that second unit. I think he's been playing a lot better. You know, obviously, Ish has been playing really good. So that's been huge, and a lot of these issues have been on the starting lineup, I think, for the most part. If you look at any of these plus-minus stats recently, it's the starting lineup that has put us in a bad situation. So, you know, I don't know really who to point the finger at, because I think Reggie Jackson's been playing a lot better. I think KCP needs to get back to being pay that man and not, like, the hope it goes in, man. Like, there was a point in time where he shot, and I was like, that's cash. What's that?
The take five shots, man.
Yeah, and, like, not be able to get into a group, like, kind of, like, hesitant to shoot. We need KCP to, like, have a couple 20-point ball games, I think.
I agree. I was going to say, like, my biggest concern. So I'm just going to give my biggest concern and my biggest plus. My biggest concern is that KCP, exactly. It doesn't even. We're not even running plays for him anymore. I don't know if there's something going on with that elbow. He did fall on it today against the Jazz, so that definitely concerns me quite a bit. But we're just not running plays for him anymore. When there was that stretch of, you know, 10 games or so where he was just catching fire, hitting his career best, coming off screens, just letting it fly and just, like you said, Drano from three, he was really kind of automatic on the pull-ups, really getting out there in space on fast breaks and just slamming it home. He's lightning fast. You're just not seeing a ton of it, or when you are seeing it, it's very much in, like, small flashes. So that's my biggest concern, because he is such a dynamic player. He's not a dynamic player, but he's such a skilled player. He's such a an athletic player and such a guy that you got to check on defense. You just can't let him do whatever he wants to do, or you're going to get toasted if you leave him there in the corner or you don't account for him on a fast break or something like that. He's going to put the ball in the cup. So that's been my biggest concern.
Just to elaborate on that point really quickly, I think that there was a couple of those games where he wasn't shooting well in the first half, and a couple of games where he was completely broke. And then in the second half, he just kept shooting, and he shot us he shot his way into a rhythm, and he shot us back into some games, and he won us some games because he kept shooting, kept getting looks. And I don't know if that's a plays thing or if that's a confidence thing or if that's an injury thing with him, but we really do need him to keep shooting and find that rhythm, because we can't be having him go 2 for 6. We're not going to win games.
No, you're right. And the sad thing is there's times where they do win games when he's going 2 for 6. But then imagine if it, you know, imagine if he went, I don't know, 7 for 18 or something like that. I'd rather see that performance than see a 2 for 6 performance, even though it might be a better percentage, might be technically more efficient. I'd rather see him go for something a little bit more. Like you said, he did shoot us into games. I'm thinking specifically, you look back a few weeks ago now, maybe a month plus ago now, at that Raptors game, Pistons down by 16 going into the fourth quarter. KCP couldn't hit water if he fell out of a boat. And what did he do? He kept shooting, hit a game winner.
Yeah, Hornets as well.
Hornets as well. Same exact thing. So that's been a big concern for me, just because it really did look like we were starting to see this next step, and then he completely plateaued off. His percentage has dropped, and his points per game has dropped. He was at about 14.9. I think he's at about around 14 points per game right now. So you're just seeing his production and really kind of everything drop off, and that's with us taking his stellar defense for granted.
What's your positive?
Positive, and it kind of just sums it up in one play. Reggie Jackson dunked in the half court against the Knicks, which just tells me that knee is getting there. It really does look like he's about that 90th percentile with that knee. If anything, it's a conditioning still. It's always going to be a problem for him. But I'm just pretty happy to see Reggie be Reggie. Duncan Smith had a tweet the other day that was hilarious. It's like, imagine Reggie playing like he is right now, when Reggie was just going off in those past 5 games, or in the 5 games prior to the Cavs and Utah Jazz game, and for Orlando Magic, and that's all that the Pistons had in return was Jeff Green's expiring contract and a second round pick. It's like, I would not feel good about that.
No.
And it's kind of like, you know, and we were all like, We were pretty scared going into that trade deadline, right?
Yeah. No, it's true. I mean, I wanted to trade him. And a lot of that is, like, you're sort of captivated by the moment and, like, how he's playing and how he looks and concerns about injuries. I mean,
the way you said that right there was kind of like you just admitted to your girlfriend that you cheated. You don't have a girlfriend, but... So, all the single ladies out there. But, sorry. It kind of sounded like you were just saying that you were cheating on your girlfriend. You said it
like my tonality. Or something?
Your tone was like, I wanted to trade him. I'm sorry.
Oh yeah, like a little guilt and shame and remorse. Yeah, I mean there is a little bit of that, but you know, what can you do? Just gotta admit, that I had a wrong opinion there. But it's true. I mean, you know, I wasn't the only one. There were like people with pitchforks. You know, stomping down the streets demanding that he gets traded. And I mean, that's sports, you know what I mean? You see players play that way, and you fear for what may happen in the future, and that's the media and wanting immediate changes and results. And I think that us casual fans and us podcasters and passionate sports fans may think that we don't share those same biases, but you know, we do. Like, that's just kind of an emotional sports perspective. And you know, he's been killing it. I mean, I'm with you. I mean, that pick and roll is like suddenly effective sort of again. Like, you see some of those pick and rolls with Andre Drummond that like we didn't see any alley-oops with him before, like late February or March, and like now we're seeing those alley-oops, now we're seeing a little bit of separation, like the herky-jerky, and now we're seeing like the floaters from...
Yeah, I was gonna say, you're gonna see those wide open Reggie Jackson floaters.
Yeah, and that's huge. And like, if we can do that, then like the defense has to account for it, whereas like before they're like they just really didn't. So I'm with you, man. I'm happy to see Reggie like playing the way that he is.
I was listening in on the Low Post, Zach Lowe's podcast. The best, second best basketball podcast.
When do you think we're going to get him on here?
Zach Lowe?
Yeah.
He
does love the Pistons.
He does. He does love the Pistons. He's got a soft spot for him. But when are we going to get on him on here? I don't know. Maybe when we're on Dash Radio. Who knows? But no, probably not anytime soon, Joe. But
we'll focus on the Pistons.
Yeah, we'll focus. We'll focus on what we'll go to work.
We'll stay in our lane.
For sure. our bike lane.
Yes.
Anyway, so I was listening to the Low Post, and he had Kevin Arnovitz on, and they were talking about, like, that bundling teams, you know, like the five teams between, it was between the Pacers, Bulls, Pistons, Heat, who else are we looking at here? Already said Chicago, Bucks, you know, that group of teams that are all kind of vying for those last few spots. And they asked him, you know, who do you like the most? Who do you, of those groups, who do you feel the most confident in to make the playoffs? And Kevin Arnovitz said, he's like, I'm the kind of guy that really likes teams that have one of the studs, like a Jimmy Butler, like a Paul George. Like, that's the kind of philosophy that I believe in when it comes to basketball.
Like, guys that can take over games.
Yeah, guys that can take over games that aren't going to lose. Like, when you need to win a game or hit a bucket, they have those guys. And he's like, but you know what? I like the Pistons. And Zach Lowe agreed. He's like, they're a pick-and-roll team that does the pick-and-roll really well. They are fine. They have a good enough amount of, they have a strong enough amount of talent on their team right now to where they need to stop with the petty stuff. They need to stop with the bickering, stop with the argument, and just play basketball, and they'll be A-okay. So, you know, hearing that also kind of just, you know, solidified my thought quite a bit, where it's like, I, you know, this is something that I believed in the whole time. So it's just been, you know, good to see, even though we hit a little rough patch here recently.
Yeah, definitely. And he's right. I mean, I think that he's one of those guys, and there's a lot of experts, I guess, would be the term I'd use. I mean,
they're writers.
Talking about writers? Yeah, writer experts who picked them to be high in the Eastern Conference, 4 or 5 seeds.
Zach Lowe had him 4.
Yeah, Zach Lowe had him 4. So, I mean, right now there's... I mean, they were before the Cavs and the Jazz playing like a 4 seed. And you see these glimpses of the team that can be at times where it's like you don't... You know, the although the Heat are playing really well and they've won a lot of games, you can't take that away from them, and bad teams can't win that amount of games. I think you've seen us at our best play way better than them at their best, I guess.
For sure.
And that might seem like a little homer out of me, but like across the board, we are just a very well-rounded team. And if we can just put the puzzle pieces together, they're out there, they're on the table. We just need to find the pieces and put them together and line it up, and you know, hopefully they're right.
I agree 100%. Now, Joe, I did have here on the slate talking a little playoffs, but now, you know, after these past few games, might be a little premature to start looking ahead about, you know, potential matchups and whatnot. So I think maybe it might be best to save that for another show going forward. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, obviously, I think we're both in the same boat there, where we'd rather play the Celtics than anyone else, but we'll get more in depth here.
That deserves a deeper dive, that's all I'm saying. A bit more of a deeper dive.
I'm with you.
Now, one thing, we do have a couple guests coming up here on the next few episodes of Inside the Cylinder. In the next few weeks, we will be having, possibly next week, I believe, we'll be having Shamik... Mohiel, sorry, I don't know if I pronounced your last name correctly, from Pistons Powered, and we will also be having Michael Snyder. He's a fellow Detroit Bad Boys writer, coming on, maybe a little bit of roundtable, talking some playoffs, talking, you know, some Pistons basketball, talking some Darko Milicic drink of choice, all the good stuff. And then down the road, going to have Duncan Smith on the pod, and then also possibly James Hollis. I did pronounce his last name correctly. So that's all good stuff. Joe, any final thoughts? Any final Pistons wisdom you want to kind of spread about the airwaves?
No, not really. Just as always, remaining optimistic and hoping and believing that we'll bounce back from the recent losses and show our true selves here in the near future. So,
Pistons by 30 against the Raptors.
David doesn't. Book it. That's not book it. Yeah, don't put any as your pot fellow co-host. I don't want you to put any money down on that, but I like the confidence.
All right, yeah, I won't put any money down, but like mentally, I put 30. I put like 300 on that one.
Nice.
All right, yeah. So for signing off here, David Fernandez. You can find me on Twitter at @_Fernandula. Writer for DetroitBadBoys.com. So I'm going to have quite a few articles coming out here soon. So keep an eye out for those. Joe, plug your stuff.
Yeah, you can find me in Tweetland at j.mack, J-D-O-T-M-A-C-K. Check me out there. And then if you want to check our podcast out, we're at Inside the Cylinder. I'm gonna spell this one out.
Oh,
I'm gonna spell this one out. I just gotta do it once. It's Inside the CYLNDR. So check us out there. Other than that, that's all I got.
Yeah, and also Dash Radio. Check out Dash Radio. Look it up. It's free. They have an app on the App Store. They have an app on the Google Play Store. They have a free website at dashradio.com. Yourselves accustomed to the interface that will be coming to you on that slot, so definitely check it out. And yeah, for now, signing off, and thanks for tuning in. Peace.
All right, see you guys next week.